You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch. On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
And you are officially on the couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me. As we always are on Fridays, 11 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, wherever you're at. Thanks for listening. Of course, you can always download all the shows right here on LA Talk Radio, the country's most listened to internet talk station. Or, of course, you can check them out on iTunes for free, which is a great thing. Doesn't cost you anything. Welcome to the show, and everybody, as always, I encourage you to call in if you would like to respond. Of course, you can always email me, because as always, I have a fabulous guest today on the show. By the way, let me give out that phone number for y'all. It's 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. That's, of course, a Los Angeles area code. Don't let it scare you. We're here in the entertainment capital of the world. And, of course, you can email me, if you'd like, at docmichelle@AOL.com. docmichelle@AOL.com. If you have questions or comments, you'd like to add something to the content of the show, or comment on a guest or some of the things you've learned, love to hear from you out there, as always, everybody. So let's get right to it. All right. I have a terrific guest, as I always do. Her name is Sherry Gaba. She is a licensed psychologist, life coach, who's helped hundreds of people. She's terrific. You may have seen her. She's been on television a lot. She's been the guest expert on Dr. Pinsky's radio show, and she's also seen in action on VH1's Celebrity Rehab 2 and all those subsequent shows that came up, Celebrity Rehab 3 and 4. You guys have seen Sherry. She really helps with people who've suffered with lifelong addictions, including substance abuse, shopping, gambling, food, sex, and love, codependency, eating disorders, depression, anxiety, single parenting, and divorce. She does it all. And Sherry's worked with individuals, couples, family, and group therapy. Now, we're really talking about her latest book today because it's amazing. I love the book. It's a great read. It's a comfortable read. It flows, and you get it, folks. I've talked about the law of attraction so many times on this show before. Sherry Gaba, welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us.
Oh, should I call you Dr. Michelle or Michelle?
Oh, just call me Michelle. Like?
Michelle? Or?
That's terrific.
Okay, great.
And it's nice to have you with me. And, of course, Sherry is the author of the latest book, The Law of Sobriety.
It's my pleasure. And I've been over there. I know we're on the phone, but I have been to your digs over there a while ago. It's very cool.
Yeah, it's a nice studio, and it's nice to have you with me on the phone over here. And I know you are busy working, and it's so nice for you to take the time out to be here as a guest on my show. I sure appreciate it.
My pleasure.
I really enjoyed reading your book, The Law of Sobriety, because it does combine the law of attraction with a lot of the 12-step concepts and a lot of the concepts that help people become sober with their various addictions. And so it's a great journey, and I loved your examples. You have personal examples of clients who I know you've probably protected their names, but they're really heartwarming, wonderful stories, and helpful as well. So
wonderful.
I really appreciated that.
I'm so glad you enjoyed that. I mean, I think if the time has come that we find other ways to deal with our addictions. The old ways, I mean, although they are fantastic and I support them, such as the 12 steps, I think that there has to be other ways. It's just not one cookie cutter approach when it comes to addiction recovery.
And it's about time somebody get this. I mean,
right.
I'm not putting
that's
down.
Well, you know, we see it in our practice. We have people that, you know, I have people that walk through my doors, and we learn as therapists that we want to meet them where they are. And if I tell them to go to a 12-step meeting and they don't go, I don't want to lose them. So I had to figure out a way to keep them hooked in so that they could really live a joyous and happy life
exactly.
in sobriety. And so this method that I came up with is working. But again, I don't go around saying I don't believe in the 12 steps.
No,
I think
yeah.
this is a great in conjunction with, or if 12 steps isn't where they want to start here.
No, I agree with you. And what's really nice is to have your book now as well, because same thing. I've really encouraged patients who come in to attend the 12-step meetings, and sometimes those principles just aren't enough for other people. But
no.
So let's get right into your personal journey. I loved reading, and I really appreciate your openness, sharing your personal journey, which really led you to write your book, The Law of Sobriety. So what was that?
Oh, gosh, it's a long journey. It's basically that I believe in the law of attraction so much, my life has been the law of attraction.
Yes.
I mean, 30-odd years ago, I was going to be the next Barbara Walters, and as fate would have it, I got pregnant, became a single mother.
Mm.
But I stayed in the ring. I continued to really pursue what I loved. I became an advertising executive so I could make a living and
good
support my little daughter.
Aww.
And but I did it at a newspaper so I could still be in the media. So I kept taking these action steps that maybe I wasn't going to be a news reporter, but I was going to be something in that realm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what it is we have to know that don't give up. Just keep taking the action. You don't know where you're going to land. I mean,
right.
I'm sure the owner of this radio, of where you podcast, had dreams, and maybe it was to be a radio broadcaster on a real radio station. But here, the internet was discovered, and now he's got something even greater. So. You're a therapist. I'm sure the last thing you thought was going to, to be a radio host. So you just keep doing the actions, and eventually it lands.
It
always lands where it's supposed to.
Gosh, it's so true. And we go through our journey, we just sort of learn which, things come out in us and follow some of our passions as well. So you've combined both the passion of, being a broadcaster, a writer, a presenter, a media person, with being a psychotherapist, which is
isn't that
which is
great?
Lovely.
I get paid for what I love, and
I mean,
I'm a lucky gal.
You are, but you manifested it. What can I say?
I think I did. I think I really did. And it isn't easy. Let me tell you, it's been a rough year. My book came out, and I don't want to go into all those negative spaces.
Oh,
but I want people to know nothing's easy.
Sure.
But you just don't give up, and you do it with perseverance and purpose and passion. But to answer your question, I showed the movie The Secret.
Right.
Maybe some of your listeners know that movie.
Mm-hmm.
It takes, the law of attraction and applies it, for the mainstream. I didn't even know what it really was, but I was living it. And once I saw the movie, I went, wow, that's kind of how I live my life.
Yes.
I showed it to some clients at a treatment center in Malibu, and they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, it kind of morphed into eventually a book. But even the book came to me. I was on Celebrity Rehab. I met Dr. Drew kind of as a fluke, did his radio show. I manifested when I met him that I was going to do the next Celebrity Rehab, which I did. I did Celebrity Rehab 2, 3, 4. We'll be seeing this summer on 5, Sober
Great.
House and Sex Addiction.
Great.
But that, too, was a manifestation. I said, I've got to be on the show. I remember sitting,
right.
At home watching Celebrity Rehab 1 saying, they've got to have a therapist on there.
Exactly.
It's got to be me.
Exactly.
Now, of course, I'm not on all the time, but it didn't matter. It just, gave me a taste of what I love to do, and that is spread my message.
Exactly. So what was it that got you into teaching and helping clients with these law of attraction principles?
Well, when they saw the movie The Secret, I noticed just a lot of desperate addicts really feeling inspired and feeling more positive,
mm-hmm.
and thinking, wow, all I have to do is think it. And we talk about that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
When we talk about cognitive behavioral therapy, it's,
right.
We're reframing our thoughts. So it's
exactly.
really nothing new. But just
yes.
the way the law of attraction was presented in that movie kind of gave
exactly.
a shift.
Mm-hmm.
to the traditional same old chemical dependency treatment.
Right.
And, I came up with 7 steps
mm-hmm.
that I can, talk about,
mm-hmm.
which really combine, everything that I know has worked and kind of put them together in one book. And I really believe if people follow these seven steps, I think that there's a really great chance that they can have a sober life. And I just want to say, Michelle, when I say sober, I'm talking about all addictions. I'm
right.
talking about, you know, drugs, alcohol, sex,
mm-hmm.
love,
sure.
codependency,
exactly.
shopping, some of the soft addictions,
right.
procrastinating, overeating, mm-hmm. the cell phone, watching TV, surfing the internet, acting
right.
moody. You know,
right.
I'm kind of going from a list here, but there are things that people just don't think about, texting and shopping and video gaming,
no,
and coffee,
so
and BlackBerry, and
right.
daydreaming,
right.
complaining, and gossiping.
Right,
so my
right.
book works for any addiction.
Sure, and it doesn't have to be, you know, a substance abuse addiction or alcohol or what, you know, that kind of thing. And I think, you know, as a therapist, that people who do come into your office, as mine, people start talking about things they're doing, and we're thinking, wait a minute, there are some addiction habits here. They're not necessarily substance abuse, but they are, you know, the shopping. They don't have to be the, you know, obvious hoarding. There are other addictions that are going on with people to, you know, fill themselves up or defocus from their own issues that are going on or their sadness. And yeah, they really all need help and could benefit from the book. By the way, folks, if you just tuned in, my special guest today is author Sherry Gaba. She is psychotherapist, and of course the book's called The Law of Sobriety, and it really combines the law of attraction with a lot of the information, 12 steps, and also work that people have done many years on getting sober. But it's a wonderful concept and can help you all take care of any kind of addiction you may have. It's a real good read too, and I enjoyed it.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Oh, yeah. Let's move on to how does the law of sobriety use the principles of the law of attraction, you know, to help people in recovery?
Well, the positive energy that you put into the universe is mm-hmm. exactly what you're going to get back. Mm-hmm. So if you're thinking positively, if you're taking positive action, I have a chapter called Right Action.
Mm-hmm.
If you're doing things that will really enhance your recovery, if that means seeing a therapist, going to meetings,
mm-hmm.
Having a sponsor, reading, meditating, doing yoga, whatever it is in your, you know, recovery plan, the more you do and the more you put out, the universe hears you.
Right.
It really does. It hears you loud and clear, and it will answer to you if you do the action. One of the things with the movie The Secret is that, you know, it didn't really have
right.
action. It was really more about you think it, and
right.
then, you know, suddenly a red bike will appear because
right,
you
right.
wiggled the nose, which we all know is just not going to happen.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I wish it was that
right,
easy.
Right, you have to put the steps out there in the world to take the action to go towards what you're trying to manifest as well.
And to never give up.
Yeah,
again, you
exactly.
know, I live by perseverance and passion and purpose. And
mm-hmm.
Those three things have been my, you know, guiding light. I mean, and again, you know, there are disappointments. Not
sure.
every day is going to feel good. And
right.
as long as you take those lessons, you know,
right,
when,
right.
I mean, when my book came out, I learned some really hard lessons. I had
right.
to deal with agents and publishers.
Oh,
and,
sure.
you know, publicists and all
right.
kinds of things right. that I didn't know anything about.
Right, right.
Social media and Facebook and Twitter. And so instead
right.
of turning it into a negative and saying, oh, God, this is too much, I just,
right.
you know, took one step at a time, one baby step at a
mm-hmm.
time. And kind of one thing led to the other. And I like to just be real. You know, I'm not
right.
going to be Pollyannish about this.
Right.
I mean, I don't think that you just think positive and positive comes back. I think it's a process like everything else.
Absolutely. It is a process like everything else. And like you said, things don't come, you know, every day is not a perfect, wonderful day. And that's very zen to know that it's going to be okay. And that's part of the living experience. We have to flow through it and enjoy it. And, you know, even the painful times we embrace, we try to. But it's that law of attraction thought, the positive thinking, which we try to stay every day back into those positive thoughts, because we all waver in our thoughts. We all do have, you know, fears that come up. We all have negative situations, people.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
It's difficult to stay there, you know.
Yeah, and it's not about feeling ashamed when you
right.
have those negative thoughts.
Exactly.
I mean, first of all, I want to say that real depression exists. I take it very seriously.
Absolutely.
And so if somebody needs to see a psychiatrist or a therapist because they have true
mm-hmm.
depression or anxiety or they're suicidal, that is not something that we deal with lightly.
Right.
But, you know, generally, the bottom line is you acknowledge, you know, what the feeling is, you know, just kind of acknowledge it, and then learning how to let it go and then shifting it into something positive.
Oh,
but
yeah.
really having, being non-judgmental, having compassion,
right.
You know, a lot of people come from histories of trauma and abandonment and neglect. And so they really didn't get the best start in life, so they go around sort of with this empty vessel. And, you know, unless, if, you know, if the medication is working great, if they want to try something more holistic, try that. You know, there's so many different ways to shift your life. But again, I just want people to know that it isn't, it's just action. That's the bottom line. It's taking action, and eventually things will land. You just don't know how they'll land, and you don't you don't expect them to land exactly the way you want them to land. You just know that they will land. I mean, when I left a job years ago because of a treatment center I worked at, and I felt that it was very unethical. I thought they were taking money from people where they shouldn't have, and saying things to people they shouldn't have. When I quit, I had no idea I'd be here today talking to you on the phone.
Wow.
I mean, I was scared, and but I knew in my little voice, my wisdom, that I had to get out of there. You know, there was a calling. I mean, everything in life, to me, I think there is a godlike voice calling. When I became a therapist, there was a calling. When I mean, everything. When I wrote this book, it was a calling. I think people need to be still. They need to meditate. They need to listen to that voice. And do it. Don't just talk about it. I notice so many people now that I've kind of entered this realm is that a lot of people are just addicted to spirituality but don't really live spiritually.
They talk about it, but they don't live it. Know, a lot of times.
And there's a lot of snake oil salesmen out there. I respect the fact that you're a therapist. I'm a therapist. I am not going to say that, and I also have schooling and coaching, but there are people out there that call themselves coaches. And again, not being negative, you got to be really careful who you're dealing with, because there are some people out there that will sell you a lot of, you know, you really want to look at someone's credentials. It's really important.
It really is. And, you know, it is very important. So let's talk about your book, The Law of Sobriety. You talk about affirmations. And of course, a lot of people may not know what that is. They're statements that describe what we want to happen in our lives.
It's putting out an intention. It's a focus. It's something that you put all your energy towards. It's something that you, you know, it's what describes what you want to happen in your life. And then you, you know, you repeat it over and over again. You repeat it with attention, conviction, and desire. And you repeat them so that you train your mind to stop, you know, bombarding yourself with negative thoughts. You know, many people spend a lot of time repeating negative words. So, for instance, let's say you need a job, and you're walking around saying, you know, I'll never get a job, they're never going to hire me. You need to shift it and talk about, you know, my employer will be, you know, my job search is fruitful, or I will find a job, or the right job will present itself. You know, something already in the affirmative that's positive kind of teaches your mind to repeat positive statements, you know, rather than negative ones. And it, and it allows your subconscious mind to accept positive ideas as truth.
It's so true. And it's, you know, the intention is so important. And everyone sort of has their own personal affirmations. It's not a general. I mean, you know, we can read books on affirmations which guide us or go online. But, you know, we can create our own personal affirmations, which really what we want to happen. And
well, here's a couple of examples. And again, when I use the word recovery or disease, I want people to think of all addictions, you know, everything that I mentioned. I don't want them just to think of alcohol or drugs. But you might say to yourself, I respect myself and I deserve recovery. I'm learning to cope with my disease. I'm learning to think first and not react to my emotions by drinking or using.
Exactly.
I'm learning to let go of fear, anxiety.
And people write these down and they have them in front of them every day and every morning when they get up, or however often that you suggest, they reinforce these ideas. And sooner or later, even if they don't believe it, it sort of seeps into their consciousness, you know, and they start really living it.
I can read a couple more. And make this really interactive for your listeners. I'm learning to handle situations that used to perplex me without using or drinking or shopping or whatever the addiction might be. I'm walking through recovery. It helps me develop qualities of gratitude and forgiveness. This is a really important one. I have sober fun and accept all the healthy and appropriate pleasures of life. And then finally, I can breathe, slow down, and let things go without acting impulsively.
That's a big one with people who tend to have, you know, addiction behavior, as we call it, is the impulsivity
that's
associated with that, in order to, you know, grasp out there for something that they can't get a hold of within themselves.
That's right. That's
Yeah.
right. Well, the other tool that I use, well, what's so great about the book is in the back of every book, there's meditation questions. There's a meditation. There are questions they can journal to, and there's positive affirmation. So it's almost like a workbook.
It is.
Book.
Yeah, that's what I also really liked about it, because it does. It helps people, guides them along, tells stories, real life stories of some of your patients and also your journey as well, which is I really appreciate, because it's very honest. And by
Well,
the way,
yeah.
if you just tuned in, folks, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. And my guest is author Sherry Gaba. She's the author of the book, The Law of Sobriety. And she's a psychotherapist. And, you know, Sherry, this doesn't only have to do with getting sober to any kind of an addiction. I think it also has to do with creating a healthy self, and also helps people with their relationships, how they relate to others and how they, you know, feel about themselves as well. And this is a great guidebook in general for people.
Right. It's
Yeah.
kind of it's basically a life coaching book for
Right.
anybody struggling with addictions. And because my feeling is if you don't have purpose in your life, if you're not getting up in the morning and living a passionate life, well, not every morning,
Yeah.
but if you're, you know, in general, you have really great goals that you are trying to achieve, you have purpose, you're invested, you're doing what you desire. If you don't have that, it's really hard to let go of these addictions. The
Yeah.
addictions are really there to, like you said, Michelle, to help you, you know, numb out. Well, not really help you, they
Right,
actually
right.
hurt you, but they're there to help self-medicate uncomfortable feelings, like you said, fears, anxieties, low self-esteem. But the problem with being in the addiction is it keeps you removed from your higher source, whether
Right.
it's God or, you know, the universe. In other words, if you're an addiction, there's this wedge that you're
Right,
creating where
right.
you can't really access what your purpose is. So
Right.
once you remove the addiction, then I think the next step, because, you know, too many times I see people who might have their sobriety, they've stopped drinking or they've stopped smoking pot or, you know, they're clean and sober or they're not shopping all the time, but
Right.
they're kind of like flatlined.
Right, right.
They're like, okay,
Numb.
so now what?
Right,
You know,
exactly.
I mean, hopefully they have found something spiritual, which
Yes.
is very important, but also, again, what is it that, you know, makes your heart sing? What is it that moves you? What, you know, I knew
Yeah.
that I wanted to be a therapist. I knew
Yes.
that I wanted to help others. I knew I wanted to write. I knew I wanted to be on television. I knew I wanted to spread my message. I knew I wanted to speak. And
Right.
so I created opportunities by my actions and long hours, you know,
Yes.
and worked really diligently, but
Right.
knew that I was doing what I loved and that the end result was going to land the way it was going to land in one, you know, one way or the other.
Right. And that key word is knowing, that perseverance and knowing, manifesting in your mind and putting the actions out there in order to get there. And when you get there, you're never there. We're always moving on and learning more and helping more. So
well, it's really
you know.
funny. Years ago, my father used to say he was a salesman early on and later
Yeah.
became an entrepreneur. And he used to talk about the law of averages.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was his little advice to me. I was a salesperson for a newspaper and
Yeah.
selling ad space. And he'd say, Sherry, it's the law of averages. The more you go out there and knock, you know, I forgot what you call it, knock the streets. No, not knock. Hit the streets. Hit the
Yeah, hit
streets.
the streets. Cute.
You know, bang on doors.
Yeah.
You know, you're gonna get the returns. And
Right.
I didn't realize that was setting me up for my book one day, which is
Oh,
really
wow.
the same thing, the law of averages.
Right.
I
Isn't
could
that
have called the
terrific?
book that. Really, I really probably should have, because sobriety
Cute.
scares so many people off. They really
Exactly.
get nervous, but it's
No,
really
no.
much more. It's so much more than alcohol.
Oh yes, absolutely. And this is what's so terrific. And it's self-explanatory when you start reading the book as well. So, you know, Sherry, when you talk about using some of the powerful tools that are going to help the readers, can you tell us about the questions you have readers ask themselves, you know,
Oh,
to help
sure.
them find the meaning in their lives? And, you know, we are talking about our own personal meaning and what we need to find out for ourselves.
So the kind of questions that they would ask themselves to help them find purpose, correct?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I would be happy to do that. You know, one of the questions is, what do I want for my sobriety? Or what are my goals in recovery? Or does my environment match my purpose? I mean, are you living where you're supposed to be living? Is there good energy where you live? Are you, or do you go home every day and just you can't stand your roommate or your partner, or you've got toxic people around you? You know, if you don't clean house and kind of get rid of all of that negative energy that's mm-hmm. around you,
right.
there's really very little room to have purpose in your life or to find purpose because you're too, you know, it's kind of like I just had a room painted in my house.
Yeah.
And it was my daughter's room. And if
yeah.
you can only imagine, you know, a room that hadn't been painted in many years, my daughter moved out.
Hmm.
It had, you know, scuffs all over. And once the room was painted,
yeah.
it was like, wow, clean slate.
Yes.
Get to start over again. So it really is the same with relationships
mm-hmm.
and jobs and mm-hmm. anybody in your life, any people, place, or thing in your life that's bringing you down, we need to get rid of. So that's really about, does your environment match your purpose?
Mm-hmm.
Do the people in my life align with who I am and who I'm becoming? Or what am I willing to do to live with purpose? How, when, and where will I have the opportunity to express my purpose?
Mm-hmm.
And is my energy focused on the goal of sobriety?
Right.
So those are examples of questions
right.
that have to do with purpose.
Really good. Good stuff. And in your book, Sherry, you talk about the importance of changing values. And that sort of involves that Zen Buddhist concept, which I was just briefly mentioning earlier. What does that mean? And how can that help listeners?
Well, I find so many people, they want to live a value-driven life. They want to be honest. They
mm-hmm.
want to be a good parent. For instance, when I did a book signing and a speech over at a treatment center about a month ago, I asked this young man, I said, What is your purpose? He said, I want to be a great dad. So what does that mean to be a great dad? Well, you know, I will be honest and I'll show up when I say I'm going to show up. So a value is what you're willing to, you'll do anything for, you'll die for.
Right.
And so, in other words, and that kind of propels your purpose.
Yes.
So if you want to be an honest person, okay, well, if I want to be honest, why am I stealing drugs?
Yes.
Or why am I robbing people to get my drugs? I mean, I'm simplifying it.
Right.
But if you know what your values are on one side of the map or one side of, you know, the line in the sand, so to
mm-hmm,
speak,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty easy to accomplish what you want to accomplish because you're going to live a value life. I have clients that have eating disorders.
Right.
They're either binge eating or
yeah.
they're not eating or they're anorexic or they're bulimic and they're
mm-hmm.
throwing up. And,
mm-hmm.
okay, so if their values are I want to have a baby one day, I want to be healthy. Okay, well, if you want to be healthy,
yeah.
you want a baby one day, why are you destroying your insides?
Right.
And again, I am not going to say that if someone has an eating disorder, this book is the answer. I mean,
right.
it certainly is. Can be a supplement. I mean, if you have a true eating disorder, you
right.
need eating disorder specialist. But
right.
this is what you need to start thinking about, or what
mm-hmm.
are my values? I don't think people really take the time to know what is important to them, what drives them.
Right, right. They're just sort of being or living every day and doing these jobs, or, you know, they're still trying to find themselves. But, I mean, that's a really terrific way to do it. How can meditation help people with their sobriety or just their living in general?
Well, the meditation is when that still little voice comes to greet them. I think that's when,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the answers come. I mean,
right.
Deepak Chopra, who actually, I have to boast, called my book a masterpiece.
Yay.
When
good for you, girl.
Isn't that amazing? I mean, I still can't believe it.
Great.
It's not on the book, unfortunately, because he got his endorsement kind of late, but it's all over the place everywhere else.
That's great.
Hopefully in the next print we'll have it on there. But basically he talks about the source of infinite possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when you meditate, and that stillness, that's when you connect to the universe, or, you know, the universe or your higher source. And
yes.
And that's where all possibilities
mm-hmm.
land and are there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think meditation does. It gives you that voice. It gives you the wisdom. You know, and it doesn't even have to be formal meditation.
No,
I mean,
exactly.
When I sat in a room at a staff meeting at a treatment center, and I knew, and I was still, and I listened, and I was present, really mindfully present.
Exactly.
I knew I didn't need to be there anymore. I
right.
couldn't be there anymore. It was no longer an option.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So meditation takes all different forms.
Right. A lot of people come to me and they say, do I have to sit, in the lotus position and go om and put my arms in a certain way? No, you don't need to do that. You know, it's.
Well, speaking of meditation, I want to give your listeners a free meditation download. So I don't know if you
terrific.
Want to have a giveaway. I can email that to you, Michelle.
Perfect.
And then I'm giving away two e-books.
Oh, yes.
You can go to my website. But the meditation is a guided meditation, which is what works for me. And I think it's fantastic to be able
to
listen to a voice and kind of get into that spirit of what the person is saying and just kind of, you know, because I don't, breathing alone doesn't work for me.
Yes.
I think it's great if you can just breathe, but I think listening to a voice and breathing together can be really powerful. So the website is thelawofsobriety.com.
Great.
And, or they can go to esgabatherapy.com. There's two websites, esgabatherapy.com and thelawofsobriety.com.
Great. And it's G-A-B-A, folks. And it's pronounced Gaba, by the way. And so, you know, that's lovely. Thank you so much. And it, again, a free meditation download, which is really terrific. I mean, it will help you.
I'll send to you to give away to one person.
Absolutely.
But on the website, they get the two bonus gifts.
Super. And those are two ebooks, which wonderful. This book, I'm telling you, it's again, The Law of Sobriety. And of course, my special guest today on the couch is Sherry Gaba. She's the author and psychotherapist, and really has helped hundreds of people literally recover from any kind of addiction and, you know, have enlightenment about their personal life and how they react to others in individual and group settings as well. So, you know, we talk about that concept of being still. And, you know, a lot of people don't understand, I think, sometimes. It's about being still in your thoughts, your body indeed, but being still in your thoughts as well. So there's something also to putting out that energy that is not agitated, that will draw to you a peacefulness and give you the information that you need from out there. So,
right. Well, yeah, meditation disciplines your mind to, like you said, to be less impulsive with your thinking and your actions.
Right.
But thoughts come and go. I mean,
they can't.
They're just gonna. They're gonna keep coming. That's just the way our brains are. But and addict alcoholic personality types tend to have more racing thoughts, ruminating thoughts, more obsessive thoughts, thoughts that really are out to get them.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose of meditation is to still your mind. Not to say that thoughts aren't going to come, but noticing them without getting caught up in them.
Right.
And not judging them and having compassion for them. And, you know, like having a thought, oh, this person doesn't like me, maybe in the past before meditation would really drive you and, you know, really make you sad, put you in some sort of painful depression. But once you really kind of get a hold of meditating and learning how to pause, you kind of look at the thought in a different way. You're more curious about it, and you just kind of let it come and go, and you don't give it a lot of legs.
Exactly. I agree. I think it's terrific. Let's talk about imagery. You know, part of what you talk about in your book is imagining or focusing on certain things that really can help people in their recovery. So what are some of the tools you suggest with the imagery?
Well, with the imagery is basically what I'm talking, you know, that's those. The way I do the positive affirmations in the book is not the positive affirmations, but the imagery is really just the questions. I don't really, you know, I mean, I have two meditations that are basically what I call guided imagery, that's guided meditation. I don't really have anything to add to that. I mean, I do the purpose imagery. I do the, I do another one on authenticity, how to become an authentic person. But not too much to add other than that. Just a lot of questions, a lot of affirmations, and a meditation.
Yeah. And, you know, along your book, as I mentioned earlier, you talk about case studies and patients that you've had, which does sort of help listeners identify, possibly they can identify with some of these patients you've had. But, you know, the story of April that you discussed really, really touched me and kind of reminded me of a lot of young adults who I've worked with. So can you share with listeners how you helped April?
Tell me about the April. I mean, I have so many stories in my book. Tell me about April. I've been doing this a really long time.
Oh, sure. Well, she...
And that sounds terrible. April's very important to me, but I do need a little bit of a cue here.
Yeah, April tended to, as I recall, she tended to recreate circumstances in her life. She tended to continue to recreate a lot of circumstances in her life, you know, in terms of addictive behaviors and impulsive behaviors. And she was always searching to resolve certain behaviors in her life that she couldn't quite, you know, get a hold of. And so you really helped her try to hone in on why these patterns are repetitive.
Okay. So you're just talking about we recreate what we know.
Yes.
You know, instead of, I'm sorry, Michelle, I just don't want to use names and people, even though it is in the book, and I appreciate that, and I think it's great they know that there's lots of case studies in the book.
Oh, yeah.
Rather than just go to names in general, let's just say this, that when we keep repeating patterns, we have to understand where they came from. You know,
mm-hmm.
if you came from a family where a dad wasn't really available, maybe he was an alcoholic, maybe
yes.
he wasn't present, you know, then you're going to start meeting people that aren't present. You're going to go, why do I keep meeting the same kind of guys that
right.
kind of remind me of good old dad that
yeah.
aren't there, that aren't emotionally supportive,
right.
or why aren't I attracted to nice guys?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if something is that familiar and that sort of addictive in nature,
mm-hmm.
you may want to take a look at it before
mm-hmm.
you invest a lot of time, because you may be recreating old trauma,
right.
you know, reenacting something that you know. I mean, I see people
right.
that, you know, have made great choices in their life. And I go, God, how, you know, what happened to them? How were they raised that they
yes.
kind of knew what they needed? And bottom line is they might have had great parents. They got the nurturing that they needed. They had the role models that showed them the
mm-hmm.
way. And
mm-hmm.
so their life was easier. Now, for some of us,
mm-hmm.
not so much. You know,
mm-hmm.
we had maybe role models that were really great and healthy in some areas, and in other areas not so healthy. Perhaps, like I said, you had a parent that was, I don't know, maybe was verbally abusive.
Mm-hmm.
But then you start meeting people that are sarcastic. You know,
mm-hmm.
why do I keep meeting people that are sarcastic? Why do I keep meeting people that
right.
are always criticizing
yes.
me and are always critical? Well,
yeah.
take a look at your past
exactly.
and ask yourself, you know, where did I learn that I wasn't good enough and that
mm-hmm.
I had to keep, you know, finding people to sort of make me feel good when
exactly.
really you're doing the opposite.
Exactly. And, you know, in keeping with the ideas of the law of attraction, they are attracting that which they know, basically.
Right. Exactly.
Know.
That's a great point, Michelle. I
Thanks.
Love that. That's
Thanks.
Exactly. They're creating what they know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we want to like shift those knowings that are negative and kind of recreate something that's positive. And it takes time to suddenly
oh, gosh.
Be attracted to something that's unfamiliar.
It is.
You know, you know how like women, they like the bad boys, right?
Right.
What's that about? Well,
right.
it's about maybe having a dad that was a bad boy,
right.
and so to speak. And
mm-hmm.
so that's all that they are attracted to, these unavailable guys
mm-hmm.
with these real challenges.
Yep.
And then you say, well, is that really mature love? Is that really what
mm-hmm.
is going to, like, at the end of the day,
mm.
be there for you? At
right.
the end of the day, you
mm-hmm.
know, someone you can count on? Or is he just really cute?
Yeah, right. yeah, sexy.
exactly.
Dangerous.
And, hey, listen, you got to yeah. have chemistry.
There
Don't
you
get
go.
Me wrong. Got to have the chemistry.
True. That's
but
right.
you need to look at what, at the end of the day, what's really important to me. And then doesn't that go back to values again?
Yeah.
What do I value? Well, gee, I value a guy that comes home when he says he's going to come home, who calls when he said he's going to call,
right.
who will be a great role model for my kids. You know, for me, I was a single mom, so in some ways it was easier
mm-hmm.
because I knew that if it wasn't going to be for me, I needed to bring great people around my daughter.
Right.
I was better at that than picking people for me. It was pretty funny.
Uh-huh.
I would pick great guys that would be good, maybe were great with kids, great, you know, they could,
yes.
they were, but I would pick, but then they weren't so mature. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it was, you got to kind of look at the whole thing.
Exactly.
You know, what are you getting here?
You really do. It's
and
so true.
I know that's a common issue for a lot of people, picking
I think
the
so.
Wrong partners.
Yeah, it's true. But just kind of knowing that and acknowledging that is amazing as well. And you can help people do that as well.
I'm very open in my book. My
yeah.
love addiction was as strong as any other addiction I had.
Yes.
Love addiction is very real. It's,
mm-hmm.
it's a real addiction, and you have to continually exercise that muscle. Luckily, today I have a fantastic relationship, and I kind of figured out what I really needed
yes.
in my life
yes.
that would make me feel good and whole and
terrific.
Would add to my life, not make my life. And I wish that for most women, but I think even in the year 2011,
mm-hmm.
people are picking the wrong partners for the
it's
wrong
true.
Reasons.
It's true, and you can help them, and you know, by following your example. And good for you, Sherry. You created what you're talking about. You go, girl. By the
Hi.
Way, if you just tuned in on the couch here with Dr. Michelle, I'm talking with our special guest, Sherry Gaba. She's the author of The Law of Sobriety, psychotherapist. Of course, you've seen her on the rehab programs on VH1 with Dr. Drew Pinsky. She's a special guest. Been on a lot of programs, featured radio shows as well, and you know Sherry, of course, probably. But we're talking about, you know, working through your past in order to make your life better. We're talking about our early environment and how tough it may have been and some of the patterns we repeat. One of those critical parts of growing and learning you talk about, Sherry, is forgiveness. That's a toughie. Woo! How can we forgive those people who have hurt us and made us feel like nothing and made us fearful in our lives? And I do say made us fearful. I know we have to take responsibility as we get older, but truly it's kind of ingrained in who we are.
Well, I think we have to look at every single person and relationship or anything that's hurt us and figure out what was the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
I think everything is a lesson. I mean,
yeah.
One of my worst relationships was with a guy, and I don't even hope, maybe he's not listening. I hope he's not. But I don't even care.
Right.
Because, you know, when you hit my age, we don't really care about these things.
You're
but anyway,
so
he was a psychologist.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, he was the sickest of all of them. And
well,
you know what?
Yeah.
He taught me the greatest lessons. I learned that I wanted to become a therapist because that's what he did. And I
yes.
knew I wanted to do exactly what he didn't do as a therapist.
Wow. What a great lesson that is. Good for you.
Yeah, I mean, yes, he was, you know, he was just an awful human being. He was abusive. But
yes.
You know what? It's like I wanted to become a therapist. So if I hadn't met him,
yes.
I would have never thought, wow, I could go to graduate school. I mean, I was so limited in my thinking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think I knew that much of what a master's degree was, even in my 30s.
Right.
I know that's hard to believe.
No, I know what you're saying.
I wasn't raised like that. I
right.
wasn't raised, oh, you can do this and do that. I mean, I was raised you could do whatever you want, but nobody really went to college. Nobody finished college. So by being with this person, although it was just an awful relationship, I wouldn't be where I am sitting right now if it wasn't for him.
Right.
So
that's
really
great.
Looking at... What did, you know, another person that was in my life that was fantastic with my daughter during the teen
yes.
years. We didn't
yes.
work out, but what a great role model he was for my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, even the first one,
yes.
my daughter's dad, I
Aww.
Mean, thank God. I, you know,
yes.
now he left me with a one-year-old and moved 3,000 miles away, but
oh, dear.
I wouldn't have my daughter.
There
so.
You go. She's a blessing, and, in you know, I mean, that's it. That's the most important thing in the whole world is understanding that.
Want to be real, Michelle.
Yeah.
I think so many people go out there and
yeah.
they profess one thing, but their life is something else.
Mm.
I've lived on both sides of the track. I know
right.
where you can go, where you know, where I've been and where I am now and where
yes.
I'm going. I want your
yes.
listeners to know that
yes.
you can be in the darkest places, and believe me, I've been there, and really change everything.
Yes. And in, you know, talking about that, you talk about the Law of Sobriety book, lessons at the very end, learning to let go of our attachment to the ideas that our lives ought to be a certain way.
Right, exactly.
How can we learn to let go of those things?
Well, the first thing is to stop being a victim and
right.
stop blaming everybody else. You know, when I finally, you know, my sad little story was, poor me, I'm a single mother, I don't have a husband, I don't have a regular family, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Once I woke up and said, whoa, you made those choices.
right. Right.
You made those choices. It's not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
Once I got out of the blame and game, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the victim mode,
mm-hmm.
everything changed. And then I realized I was supposed to have this journey. This was the journey that was meant for me. I wouldn't have become a therapist. Being a single parent, that was another reason I became a therapist. I wanted to help single parents.
Yes.
If I had never been a single parent,
right.
I would have not helped all the single parents that I've helped.
So true.
Mm-hmm. If I didn't, you know, have addiction issues, I would have never gotten in the field of addictions.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
everything has its place. And, you know, learning to know that where you're going to land is exactly where you're supposed to and stop trying to fight it, you know.
Right.
What's a great example of that? You know, when you write a book, you want certain publicity, and I've been on a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm,
I've been on
CNN mm-hmm.
and E! News and all this.
Right.
But there's a couple shows I haven't been on, and I just kept fighting it and fighting it. And finally I went, you know what? Let's just do your own thing.
Right, right.
And so now I'm looking into doing what you're doing and having my own radio show. I don't need to be on those shows. I'll do my own show.
Well, right,
and
right.
And so the point is stop fighting
yes.
it.
You know what?
You know?
You're so sweet. One of my favorite words is allow. And I'm always saying this, you
yeah.
know, with clients is allow. Stop fighting it because you have to let it in, allow, and pursue sort of what you would like to happen for you and just go for it. And
yeah, you just got to open up. You have to be open and willing and stop having such a narrow perspective of what you think is supposed to be. Like,
exactly.
My being on the Today Show isn't going to make or break my life.
Right.
You know, Oprah's now off the air, so I'm not going to be on Oprah. That was one of my, you know, fantasy things.
Sure.
And then so you just kind of go, okay, I'm here on Doc Michelle's show, and that's exactly where I'm supposed to be today.
There
and
you go.
I am so honored to be here.
Well, I'm honored to have you. You're terrific, and I think that you're so helpful, and you've been around to help people for quite a long time, and your book is amazing. I love the idea of combining the law of attraction with the laws of sobriety. And
it's my life.
I know it is, and I really appreciate what you've done. I was so thrilled because I receive a lot of your emails, and I get a lot of information about your teachings and where you're at. And when I started reading your book, I went, oh my God, the law of attraction's here. I love this woman. You know, she knows what she's doing. It's so true.
Well, I love what you said. You know, that was really great. That was very, very intuitive, Michelle, when you said something about, you know, you pick what you know, and that is the law of attraction. So it's like shifting what you know into something that you want.
Exactly.
You know, something that you can create that is there for you.
That's
because
so true.
We all have a unique calling.
We
every
sure
single
do.
One of us.
We do. And we never know where it's going to come from either. You know, a lot of people are worried about where is it going to come from, or who's going to give it to me? Is this person going to give what I want, or is this no, it's just going to come when it does.
A perfect example of that is, you know, Melody Beatty, she wrote the book Codependent No More. It's a classic.
Right.
She was teaching a course, and I met her, and I just fell in love with her. I just loved the class.
Mm.
And out of nowhere, I decided, you know, maybe she'll endorse my book, too. And so we developed sort of a friendship, and she endorsed my book. And believe me, I didn't think Melody Beatty was going to endorse my book started the... So the point is, do your book. Don't worry about the endorsements. I'm just using this as an example. Don't worry about the end result. It's going to come if you do the work.
It's so true.
Do the work.
It's so true. And the work's fun. And you learn from it. And it's a very helpful book, Sherry. And I know you have to get going, but... it's just been such a pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you for having me. And definitely
you.
Go to the website and get your free bonus gift. That's thelawofsobriety.com and sgabatherapy.com.
And that's G-A-B-A, folks, sgabatherapy.com or thelawofsobriety.com. And what I'm going to get a hold of here from you are your special gifts, a free meditation download that you all can have, and also two e-books. That Sherry will be giving away if you go onto her website and you're listening to the show today. Go for it. Jump, because they're going to go like crazy.
I'm going to send it to you, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
It's
a pleasure to have you on the show. And thanks so much for sharing your wisdom with us. And you're a doll. You're a sweetheart. Thanks for being there. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That's Sherry Gaba again. She's the author of the book, The Law of Sobriety. Really does help with more than just keeping sober with just any kind of addiction. It really will help. I mean, there are so many different kinds of addictions we may have. You know, I mean, we have codependency, but there's eating disorders, sex addictions. I mean, that's the big thing now, right? A lot of people go to sex rehab, right? Food, gambling, anxiety, depression. It's all about, you know, impulsive behaviors, helping people, you know, learn, helping you guys learn how to break some of these addictive behaviors that numb us to our true selves, and how to find our passions in life and, you know, come through all that and get what we need to get. All right. And if you have any questions or comments, of course, you can email me at docmichelle@AOL.com. I'd love to hear from you. Your response to this, go ahead, pick up the book. It'll help you out in all aspects of your life, like I said. Of course, you can check out my website, which is linked up to the website here on LA Talk Radio. It's drmichelletherapy.com. It's drmichelle with two L's, therapy.com. And I always encourage you to, you know, give me a call or let me know what's going on. The number here, 323-203-0815, to give me your feedback on anything that you'd like. And next week I have excellent special guest. We're going to be talking about things like, and I'm not going to tell you who it is, it's a surprise. It's the law of attraction information, more of creating your own life, more of sort of manifesting what you want in your life. And you know, finding your true self, which is really what I'm all about too here on LA Talk Radio. All right, we're going to get going. And again, as I always do say, which is one of the principles of the law of attraction and taking care of yourself first. I do say, do take care of yourself first. Be mindful of who you are. Get healthy. Change your thoughts. And then you will be great for others, because that's always the way it works. Have a great day, and I'll talk to you next week. This is Dr. Michelle. Bye-bye.
Of sun.